times situations we might have avoided if given a choice turn out to be the greatest blessings of all. Our guest today has written a book about a little boy who brings joy to all who know him, Super J and the Power of Love. Hello and welcome to the Stay at Homeschooling Moms podcast. My name is Mary Ellen Barrett and I am joined by my co-host and dear, dear friend, Ginny Suford. And today we have a terrific author and guest for you with a compelling subject. And you're going to love this book. It's wonderful. But before we introduce her and get into it, let's thank Seton Home Study School, our primary sponsor here on the podcast. Seton has been helping parents home educate their children for over 40 years, providing books, lesson plans, counseling, and grading. They are fully accredited in all 50 states and have students from all over the world. Seton has had over 175,000 students enrolled over the past 40 years and has an esteemed list of graduates. Check them out at www.setonhome.org and go through that little beginner's guide. There's a beginner's guide there on the website. And if you go through it, you receive a coupon code at the end so you can get a little discount if you enroll. Now, Ginny, would you like to introduce our lovely guest? This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think it will be too. Jennifer Nelson has written Super J and the Power of Love. She's a wife. She's a homeschooling mom of seven kids, and she has nothing else to do with her life. And the founder of an international prayer ministry for women with pregnancy complications, infertility, and miscarriages. I think that's just a great thing to have. You know, I have 12 kids, but the first several were adopted because I couldn't get pregnant. And then after a while I did, then I kept adopting, I kept having babies. So that's how I ended up with 12. But infertility is a tough thing to go through. Mm-hmm. Really is. And that's wonderful that you have this ministry. But anyhow, this is something new for you, though. This is your first published book, first of hope of many, I hope. Welcome, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for asking me to be here. I'm really excited to share with the homeschooling community and those who listen to this podcast about Super J and the Power of Love.
It's a great, great book. It's really lovely. And I was just so taken aback by how thoughtfully you presented some pretty heavy subjects for an age appropriate for little people.
Well, by the way, readers that Super J, I'm sorry, Super J is a little guy with Down syndrome.
Yes. So
you mentioned that, yes.
The Super J, the background of the book is that I met Jackson, who has Down syndrome, when he was 5 years old. He is the son of my good friend Allison, who was at a mommy Bible study that I was running. And anytime Jackson was around, he just livened up the room. We would be talking about serious topics around our Bible study. And next thing you know, Jackson would be in there and we're all transported to Yankee Stadium at the bottom of the ninth, saying, you know, we're at Yankee Stadium, it's the bottom of the ninth, and you're the pitcher, and I'm up to bat. And he'd be pulling these women, these grown women off the couch and like telling them like what they were doing. And so he was just so energetic and I just loved him. And he didn't know my name for the longest time. So I'm known as Mommy Bible Study Friend. That was for a long time. Now he calls me Miss Jen, but he's grown now. He's 17. And, you know, this book was actually written when he was 11 years old. He was undergoing a surgery. And I thought to myself, if I was a child with Down syndrome, and going in for a surgery, I'd probably be pretty scared, not knowing what to expect. So I wrote him this little book. It was written in rhyming fashion, something that was brief that his mom would be able to read to him. And that's kind of what Super J was born from, just a book that I wrote for Jackson. And I never intended for it to be published because it was just for him. Mm-hmm. But as the Lord had it, he aligned these players and the illustrator so that this book could come into the world. There's nothing more to say than this is just God guiding this book, showing us that he wanted this pro-life message to be out there.
That's amazing. It struck me so much. I know somebody, a friend in our homeschool group, just had her second Down syndrome child, and it's her mm-hmm. eighth. So she has two mm-hmm. in a row, the toddler and the newborn. And the little toddler, I guess he's four now. He, mm-hmm. I see him every so often at homeschool events. And he maybe I see him twice a year, three times a year, something like that. And mm-hmm. at one of these events, it's always our big homeschool Christmas party. He just comes up and hugs everybody and loves mm-hmm. them and tells them his name. And he's just full of love. And Super Jay's superpower in the book is his ability to love without conditions. He just loves. And that is so true of every child that I've ever met with this condition, is that they just are the happiest, sweetest, most lovable people. And people don't want that to exist. And that's heartbreaking.
Right. I read once Iceland, the country of Iceland, has no Down syndrome kids. They're all aborted.
Well, they claim to cure it, but they just abort them. They didn't cure anything.
All they do. And you're absolutely correct. They bring this joy to people. And it's not just the joy from the child themselves.
Right.
I have a friend, and I won't mention her name or anything, but she's a sort of Facebook friend. I've met her once or twice. And she has a very large family. And the youngest baby has Down syndrome. She's a little bit older now. And she's some of the Down syndrome kids. Actually, if you meet some Down syndrome adults, they can go to college. They can do quite well.
Absolutely.
Experience.
There's a spectrum there's a spectrum with Down syndrome, and you have some persons with Down syndrome who are higher functioning than others. You have some who are more verbal maybe than others. I have, God has blessed me with three beautiful women in my life who have sons that have Down syndrome, and the boys are all different on the spectrum as far as Down syndrome. And one, Jackson, is very high functioning. He's more verbal than another one of my friend's sons. And so there are many differences, but the one commonality, I think, is what we've spoken about and what the book is about, which is this unconditional love and just vibrant love of life, that they find joy in things that others may not. And just simple things, like we put in the book, simple things like butterflies and kisses and being hugged by someone you love. These are the things that bring them joy, which I think sometimes in our society, we're so busy and we're so hectic, and we don't see these things. And I think that I was talking to a friend about why the rates of children with Down syndrome being aborted are so high. And I said, I think it's because Satan really doesn't want us to have the example of these children in our lives, because these are the childlike that we have to be like to enter the kingdom. Yeah. They're humble, they're loving, they don't judge people. And that is how we have to be to enter the kingdom. So I think that, you know, to destroy these children, or to destroy innocence with so much garbage that's out in our society today, if you can strip the innocence away from the children and destroy children who are innocent children, then these examples of how we have to be to enter the kingdom are gone.
I think that's really great. And I love the way you kind of handled abortion in the book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not really handling it as abortion so much, but just that, you know, evil people don't want Super Jay to be born.
I like, you used that whole super.
He's a villain. I think they said villain.
Evil villain.
Yeah, I can read it to you right now if you want, because I have the book here.
Yeah, I'd love it.
It says, the evil villain tried to lie. Super Jay should not be born, but his mommy kept him safe inside, much to the villain's scorn. The villain tried to make her doubt as his mommy lay awake. No, she said, I won't listen to you. God never makes mistakes.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's got that whole superhero kind of vibe to it. So it's not scary, because kids are used to superheroes and villains.
Right.
But it really, really drives home that message of what's going on here.
Right. And I think that's the thing, too, knowing that I was writing this book for Jackson, and then also for my own children, if it ever was something I would read to them, that any kid can relate to an evil villain trying to make sure a superhero doesn't accomplish the good that they're supposed to do. And so, you know, to put that an evil villain wants to make sure that Super Jay isn't here, it's not anything that isn't in, you know, your regular superhero stories. The character is drawn as kind of like a shadow figure with pointy horns. But I think it's something that, you know, my little kids have read this book. Joseph is my fifth. He is six. He's coming to me every morning. Mom, read me Super Jay. So I know that it's something that if my own son loves the character, he's like, Mom, Super Jay should be on a DVD. Like, he really just loves his character. And he tells me how much he's learned about children with Down syndrome just from reading the book. So I'm really happy with how it turned out. And the pro-life message, I think, is something that absolutely needs to be out there for children with Down syndrome. In the United States, the abortion rate's, I think, around 80%.
It's high.
That's even.
Yeah.
It's just high. It's really high.
Yeah. And so what I'm doing right now, I actually am working with a NAPRO OBGYN. And I asked her, hey, can I send you this book? And let me know what you think, because what I would like to do is get this book in the hands of Catholic OBGYNs, that if they have any patients who have a Down syndrome diagnosis, that they can give this book to them. I have someone I know contacted the Sisters of Life and said, can we get you some copies for free so that you can have it there if you need them? Even if families do choose life for a baby that they have with Down syndrome, they know, you know, from a diagnosis, an early diagnosis, it's something they can read to their children to kind of get them used to, you know, how their new sibling will be. So I think there's a lot of different ways this book can be utilized out there.
That's brilliant to contact doctors and the sisters and stuff. That's really smart to help promote this whole kind of pro-life message. We are speaking to Jennifer Nelson, who wrote a beautiful, beautiful book, a children's book, but it's actually really good for everybody. Super J and the Power of Love. Now, we mentioned that Seton Home Study School is our primary sponsor here, but right now we're going to give a brief pause to thank our other sponsors. We have quite a few of them here on the podcast, and we would like you to listen to this message. And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Benedictine College. Benedictine College is a Newman Guide school located in Atchison, Kansas. It is heir to the 1,500 years of Benedictine dedication to learning. Benedictine College mission as a Catholic Benedictine liberal arts residential college is the education of men and women within a community of faith and scholarship. There are over 50 undergraduate programs, 2 master's degree programs, and they are located on a beautiful, beautiful campus. Please check out their website at benedictine.edu for more information about student life, faith life, admissions, financial aid, athletics, and a variety of other things. You can even schedule a visit to the campus on the website. So again, check them out at benedictine.edu. And thank you, Benedictine College, for sponsoring the Stay at Home Schooling Mom podcast.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you again to our sponsor. We very much appreciate all our sponsors. They're just terrific to us. We're talking here to Jennifer Nelson, who is kind of a really cool person. She's a homeschooling mom.
She is cool.
She's a homeschooling mom. She's got a huge family herself, and she's written this terrific book about a little boy with Down syndrome called Super J. The great thing about the book, of course, is it doesn't really encourage people to tolerate those with differences. You hear that a lot. In this case, it kind of encourages people to celebrate kids with Down syndrome.
Yeah,
like, this
yeah.
is a great blessing to your family. And I started to say before, I have a friend, and her little girl is not very verbal, but she's got all these older brothers and sisters, and it has changed their life to have this little girl. Yeah. They worship her. I don't think her mom would mind if I'm not saying anybody, but... Yeah. People actually say occasionally to the little girl, to somebody around her when they see she's not verbal, well, you know, does she have Down syndrome? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an obnoxious question. The older kids taught her to say, duh. Every time somebody
so
asks the question, does she have Down syndrome? She'll
that's
go, duh. That's really funny. The youngest kid from a big family, you know, like just the coolest thing on earth.
Yeah.
Just absolutely love this. Now, we understand you yourself were homeschooled, as was the book's illustrator, Sam Estrada. You're homeschooling your own children. Can you speak to how homeschooling like formed your view about this, how it's forming your children's world view, everything?
Absolutely. So I've been homeschooling for 13 years now through Seton from the very beginning. And one of the great things that Seton allows for us is we can work our schedule. Homeschooling is just so flexible. That when my kids were little, the first three, I would go with them to pray outside of Planned Parenthood in Morristown. And we were able to do that because of Seton and the flexibility. And so we were out there praying. And one time we had a very scary thing happen with a woman who was yelling and cursing at my kids. And my kids ended up crying and never wanting to go back because they were so scared. And I remember just saying to God, God, you know, our heart is in the pro-life movement. And you know that if I could be here every day, I would be here every day. But after that incident, I just felt like it wasn't safe for us to go back. So as God would have it, he started bringing these things into our lives where we were able to do pro-life things, but not, you know, be standing outside necessarily praying the rosary. We pray the rosary for life, but not outside of a Planned Parenthood. But he brought us people who were in crisis pregnancies. Our family has helped three teenagers who had chosen life to have baby showers at the churches that we're involved with. And so he was bringing all these pro-life things to us to be able to be involved with. And the flexibility of homeschool really allowed us to do that. And, you know, we go to the March for Life, which, you know, when I was in Catholic school, that wasn't even something I heard of. So Seton has really helped us to be able to be involved in the pro-life movement in a variety of different ways. You mentioned my ministry in the beginning. It's called the Sisterhood of the Traveling Relics of St. Gianna. And my kids helped me put together miscarriage care packages for women who have lost babies. They put stamps on the letters that we mail out with third class relics of St. Gianna, prayer cards to people. So I think homeschooling really has helped us in that manner, not only through learning the Catholic teachings on life. I mean, my kids just finished, my high schoolers last year, biology for life for the high school with Seton. And oh my goodness, the in-depth teaching on formation of a child from conception is unlike anything I've ever read, and nothing that I was ever taught in school. And I was in Catholic education from pre-K through college. So I just love Seton's curriculum and how in-depth that it goes into protecting and defending and promoting life. So,
oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because the homeschooling, when you said that in your Catholic school, you had never really known about the March for Life. And there are a couple of high schools around here, not the diocesan ones, the private ones, that do go. They take their juniors and seniors, which perfectly appropriate. But they are not, the Catholic schools in general, I don't think, are raising kids in a pro-life culture the way homeschoolers are able to do. And I'm always saying that when you homeschool your children, you can live an authentically Catholic life. And that means being part of the pro-life movement in some way. You bring up that biology book. Seton for years was looking for a pro-life biology book, or at least one that wasn't anti-life, and it didn't exist. So they wrote one. And as far as we know, it's the only pro-life biology textbook out there. You know, so
well, something amazing too, you mentioned in the book, is the scientist who discovered Down syndrome, and he is up for canonization, which is amazing. And you know, even writing this book, in the process of this book, I've learned so much. Like children first language was something I'd never heard about before, but when you're speaking of a child with Down syndrome, they say to say it in that way, instead of saying a Down syndrome child, to say a child with Down syndrome, because it's something that he or she has, not something that he or she is. So I just love the fact that that is out there, and that I'm learning these things. Some parents I spoke to who have children with Down syndrome said, my child doesn't even know that they have Down syndrome, because I don't tell them that they have it. I don't want them to think I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, or Z because I have Down syndrome, or that they're any different than any other peer that they might run into because they have Down syndrome. So I'm learning so much from the community, and I just think it's beautiful what Super J has been focused on. Which is the gifts of these wonderful children and the blessing that they are to the world, not something to be looked down upon or gotten rid of or a problem to solve, but a blessing and a gift from God in heaven.
That's a, you know, I have actually a gripe with some pro-life groups on social media. They'll put, you know, Jane had a diagnosis that her baby had whatever, spina bifida, and the baby was born and the baby is fine. And I realize what they're trying to get at is that sometimes these diagnoses are wrong and that your baby is perfectly healthy. But if the baby is born with spina bifida, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That those bother me a little bit. Like, but so what? Like, we've had several occasions in my own family where actually the baby's died. Mm-hmm. You know, there were bad diagnoses before birth. And, you know, and this is the one that's always sort of brought up by the pro-abortion group. They always have to bring up that 0.001% of children. And they'll say, well, what about a baby that's going, you know, has a condition incompatible with life?
Right.
And my own feeling about that is we've had this happen in my family. Mm-hmm. And when our babies are born and they live their short little lives, and in some cases it was minutes, mm-hmm. You know what? Then they're buried surrounded by people who love them. Who love them every moment of their existence.
Right.
They weren't ripped out of their mothers and thrown into a pan someplace. They were loved mm-hmm. for every moment of their existence. In two cases, they were baptized. We pray to them. They're our family saints. They were baptized. They never could have committed, couldn't have committed a sin, right?
And they died in their mother's arms. Like if you had to die early, you would choose to be in your mother's arms, right? There's so much dignity and power in those moments for people.
The only thing they knew was love.
Yeah.
Right. And you mentioned the illustrator before, Sam Estrada. Yeah. So he and I have been talking because this will probably be the first in a series. And so we were just talking about ideas. And now that we're talking about this, children with, you know, terminal diagnoses they receive in utero, one of my godsons, Robert, his mom found out at 20 weeks that he had a trisomy that was a life-limiting diagnosis and that he would die either in the womb or shortly after birth. And the doctor said, you know, in 30 years of medicine, only 3 women have chosen to continue with the pregnancy after this diagnosis. And my friend said, make it 4. And, you know, she carried Robert to term and he was born and the priest was in the room and baptized him right away. And I got to hold him. My husband got to hold him and he passed the next morning in the loving arms of his parents. So after I let my friend, his mom, read this book, she said, oh, maybe we can write a book about Robert. And it's funny because Sam, the illustrator, had said to me that I think we need to start writing pro-life children's books. We need to write these books about maybe a baby that had a life-limiting diagnosis or a book about loving them both, like about, you know, helping a mom who is pregnant and doesn't know how she's going to get by. There's a lot of ideas that we're tossing around. We do have 2 more Super J books written. And then we also are working on one called The True Story of Brendan Kelly, who is a little boy who had Down syndrome. And he met Pope John Paul II for his Make-A-Wish when he was 4 years old. This isn't a story. I had no idea about his story until I met another mom who's Catholic with her daughter, Grace, who has Down syndrome. And she told me, hey, have you ever heard Brendan Kelly's story? So I started looking into this little boy and he was like a little suffering soul. His priest of his parish said that Brendan was a mystic and he died of leukemia when he was 15 years old. He was buried in a cassock because he wanted to be an altar server and become a priest. If you've never heard of him, Google him and look him up. His story is the most moving story I've ever read. And this is a little boy with Down syndrome. There's a tie to the Santorum family, Rick Santorum, who was a senator. His daughter, Bella, had a trisomy and they encouraged abortion. The parents said no. Well, they were next door neighbors of Brendan and Brendan's family. And Brendan said, well, I'm going to pray for Bella. And so when he was going under his chemotherapy and then his very painful bone marrow transplant, the people on the intercom could hear Brendan saying, I offer this for Bella. This is for Bella, Jesus. And she just turned 16 years old. Yeah. And she was only supposed to live like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I remember that case.
This is a little boy with Down syndrome, and I just feel the Lord moving. So anyway, we are writing a book about him. He's going to be, my publisher already said, I gave him the text and he's like, let's roll with it. So we're talking to Brendan Kelly's family, and hopefully we'll get another book out about this beautiful boy with Down syndrome who has had such an impact on the world.
Wow. I am really looking forward to more of this kind of work. I think it's necessary. I think it's beautiful. And I think it's going to bless a lot of people. So really, thank you, Jennifer, for all that hard work.
Thank you.
Before we sign off, I just want to mention, we prayed before because we had so many kind of complications with our technology here. And Jennifer made the point that Satan does not like us to talk about these things, these children, because they are such a blessing in so many ways. So we went through a lot to get this podcast going. So many weird things happened to our technology. So
that never happened, by the way.
Never happened before. It's almost a little eerie. So when you hear this, please just say a prayer for Jennifer, for her publisher, for her illustrator, for her family, because Satan does seem to attack these kinds of projects. So just take a moment and say a prayer for Jennifer and all who are involved in these wonderful projects. Thank you so much for being with us, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am looking forward to future books. Also, keep in touch with me. Because I have a friend who she lost a baby to one of the trisomies 2 or 3 days after birth, but she was able to bring the baby home and spend time with her other children and everything. And she started a website for people who are experiencing, anticipating a birth where they won't. Yeah. The baby is not expected to live, and just celebrating the fact that these babies, every moment they have, like, she has pictures of her little boy being kissed by his sisters. It's a beautiful thing. It shouldn't be a beautiful thing. Death should be so horrible, but it's a beautiful thing to see. So keep in touch with me, because I'd really love to pass along names to you of people that have dealt with situations like this. And I am going to pray for you. I'm not good for much, but great prayer. And I'm going to pray for this work because I think it's just wonderful. I got my start in speaking back in the 1960s. That's how old I am, in New York, where abortion was made legal before it was legal in other places.
Yeah.
Abortion was legalized in 68 in New York.
You know, now that Roe v. Wade is turned over, the hard work begins state by state and person to person. I mean, we have to encounter with people and where they're at, and I hope this book can get into the hands of people. You know, I said to my illustrator and to the publisher that if this book is able to change one mind and one heart to choose life when they wouldn't have otherwise, it's a bestseller in the kingdom, you know?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, there's no value we can possibly put on that. You have been a terrific guest.
Exactly.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you to our sponsors, to Seton Home Study School, our primary sponsor. To our staff at Seton, our support staff. Oh my goodness, Jason and Jim and who am I missing here?
Oh,
Jason, Jim, and Robin. Oh my goodness, Satan is hitting my head. We very much appreciate all their help. If you like what you hear today, please go to wherever you hear podcasts and hit like and subscribe. And God bless you and your family.
God bless you. Thank you.
And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton Home Study School is a nationally accredited, faithfully Catholic, private distant learning school that serves students from pre-K through 12th grade. There are currently 17,000 homeschool students enrolled in Seton Home Study School, and many, many more who use their books and materials, including several small Catholic schools. Since 1983, Seton Home Study School has faithfully served the homeschool community in the United States and all over the world. Please check out their website, setonhome.org, for more information. And thank you, Seton Home Study School, for sponsoring the podcast, The Stay-at-Home Schooling Moms.